In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I have been thinking of the prophets, that the prophets not only prophesied and spoke the word of God, but the prophets embodied the word of God. We see Jesus as the prophet's prophet, and how he embodied the word of God, like a sheep led to the slaughter, like a lamb before its shearers, he opened not his mouth. We see how he embodied the word of God. And I'm looking today at Jeremiah and maybe Isaiah and see how they embodied the word of God. Very interesting. You see, it's not only that you speak a word, but you are held responsible for the word that you speak. Let's look at Jeremiah 1, which is Jeremiah's call. "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you, and I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations." When a man or a woman has a prophetic call, that call is before he was born, before she was born. We knew Sister Ruth, and Ruth was a prophetess par excellence. I'll never forget what she said to me when we thought they were going to close the church. She said, "I see your church. It's by the sea." She never knew this. She says, "And there is a protection around it." And that was 8, 9, 10 years ago, and still we're open. So I call you to be a prophet unto the nations. "Then said I, Lord, behold, I do not know how to speak. I am a child." It seems like the prophets are so human that they want to get out of the call. "And though I called you to be a prophet to the nations," and Jeremiah says, "I don't know how to speak. I'm just a young boy." What does the Lord say? "The Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for you shall go to all that I send you to. And whatsoever I command you to speak, you shall speak." Let me tell you, the command to speak is going to get Jeremiah into trouble. The command to speak is not a nice word to the people of God, but a word of repentance. "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am there to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand, and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth." Oh yes, I have put my words in your mouth. "See, I have this day set thee over nations, and I have set thee over kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant." In other words, the word of God will tear down as well as build up. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou?" What do you see? I'm going to tell you. What do you see? I know I've prayed with people and I've seen things. I can't make myself see things. But what I see, I pray through. I remember praying for the woman with a cancer in the stomach. And I saw a scouring pad as I prayed. I saw a scouring pad. And I wasn't expecting to see a scouring pad. I wasn't expecting to see anything. But it was very clear, a big scouring pad. And I started to pray, "Scour it out, scour it out, scour it out, scour it out." And I was saying it fast. And this lady didn't even know me. I'm thinking, this lady must think I'm crazy. "Scour it out, scour it out, scour it out." She said, but when she went to have her CAT scan, the cancer was gone, and the doctor said it looks like it had been scoured out. What the prophet sees, he has to pray into. What the prophet sees, he has to pray into. When you see something, you pray into it. You pray into it. I saw the Titanic going down, which was the world economy in 1995, 96. The world's economy. We need to pray into that. Lord, give us a president that at least it'll last a little longer. Lord, give us a president that's going to be able to help us economically. Lord, we need your help. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? He said, I see the rod of a watch tree or an almond tree. And then he said, the Lord unto me, you have seen very well, and I will hasten my word to perform it. The word of the Lord came unto me a second time saying, what do you see? See, the prophet sees. The prophet sees. I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. Doesn't sound like a very good prophecy. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, says the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one on his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. So it seems like the Jerusalem and Judah, it's going to be destroyed. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness who have forsaken me. Why will God do that? They have forsaken him and have burned incense to foreign gods, to other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them at the faces, lest I confound thee before them. And behold, I have made you this day a defenced city, an iron pillar, brazen walls against the whole land of Judah. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail. Now, this is a message of destruction that Jeremiah has to give the people. This is a message of destruction. Why? Because the people have worshipped false gods. They have burned incense to Baal and Asherah. They've gone to the temple prostitutes. This is what's happened. And the Lord says, as a result of this, Jeremiah, I want you to prophesy that I am going to ravage Jerusalem as well as the whole land of Judah. Now, when people hear that, they're not going to like Jeremiah very much. You know, speak to us what the God, Lord, says. You know, everybody wants to hear a positive message. Everyone wants to hear a positive message. But you know what? We in the United States, we have worshipped false gods. We in the United States, we have thrown God aside. We in the United States, we even have God now, and God we trust, on the rim of our coins. We in the United States have thrown God out of our schools. So what do you think? We in the United States have killed children, maybe 80 million, 100 million children in abortion. What do you think God is going to do to us, speak to us? That's why we better pray, oh God, during this next election, give us mercy. Give us mercy, Lord. Give us mercy. This is the way I see things. I'm not telling you this is prophetic, but I'm telling you this is the way I see things. If Mr. Obama is elected president, that is the end of the United States of America. This is the way I see things. If Mr. Romney is elected president, he will hold back the walls for a period of time. You see, we owe $16 trillion. You don't have to be a prophet to know unless we get this debt paid, our country is going to be like Greece and like the other countries. But, you know, who listens? Who listens? Years ago, I prophesied that God was going to take care of the church, and God was going to take care of the nation. And I saw the church caring more about her bank books, and I said, God will judge the church, and he will use the bank books. He will cause the bank books to go down to zero. Now, I didn't know there was going to be a scourge of priests that hurt children. I knew nothing about that. But I knew that where your heart is, there God will judge. And then I said to about the United States, our heart is in our pocketbooks, and as a result, God is going to judge us in our pocketbooks because we care more about the money we have than about our people. And you know what? That's exactly where God has judged us. Go buy a quart of milk. You can't buy it now for it's so expensive. $4 a gallon for gasoline. I would say the pro-life candidate, that's what I would say. At least our country will last a little longer. What we need in the country are people who repent, people who say to the Lord, we have sinned, we have fallen short of the glory of God, we are in need of your grace, we are in need of your blessing. Lord, forgive us, we have overthrown you, we have killed our children from the womb. Lord, have mercy on us. Now we see that Jeremiah was asked to prophesy, and the message was not very positive. I look at the 20th chapter of Jeremiah. Pashur, the son of Immer, was the priest, who was also the governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things, these negative things. And Pashur smote Jeremiah, the prophet, and put him in stocks in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it came to pass on the next day, Pashur the priest brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, the Lord hath not called your name Pashur, but Magor Mishabibib. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will make you a terror to yourself and all your friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it, and I will give all of Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive to Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city and the labors thereof. That's why, you see, we still have a chance to pray for repentance. We still have a chance to pray for repentance. Oh God, forgive us for what we have done in this country, this covenanted country, this country that belongs to you, this country that has so many resources. Forgive us, Lord, that we have spit in your face. Forgive me, Lord, for not praying repentance prayers for our country. Forgive me, Lord, for not praying repentance prayers for our country. Please give us grace to pray repentance prayers so that our children will be spared, so that our children will be spared. They put Jeremiah in a cistern, and they locked him up. And he's up to mud, up to his whatever, up to his waist. And this is what he says. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I. You have prevailed. I am a derision daily. Everyone mocks me. But since I spoke, I cried out violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. The word of the Lord was the word of condemnation to the people who burned incense to the false gods. And Jeremiah feels himself as a derision, feels himself as someone that's been rejected, and he has been. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. He made up his mind. I'm not going to speak any more in the name of the Lord. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary and forbearing. I could not bear it. For I heard the defaming of many fears on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my families watched for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we will prevail against him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. therefore my persecutors shall stumble. Jeremiah reaches the point that he says, I'm not going to mention the Lord anymore. No more. Why? Because I'm sick of being tortured. I'm sick of being in suffering. I'm sick of being rejected. Remember, he embodied the Word of God. The Word of God was to Israel, to Judah, and to the city of Jerusalem that it was going to be pillaged and they were going to be brought to Babylon. And as a result, they put him in stocks, they put him in a cistern, and he says, I'm not going to mention his name anymore, nor speak anymore in his name. By his word, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary and forbearing. I could not hold it in. In other words, if you're a preacher, you know exactly what Jeremiah is saying. You might say to the Lord, no more am I going to speak in your name because I'm sick of taking the guff. I'm sick of taking the punches in the face. I'm sick of taking being rejected. But if you're a real preacher, the word of God in your bones will burn, that you are like St. Paul will have to be, I am confronted to speak the word of God. I must speak the word of God. I cannot hold it in. I cannot hold it in. What is the name of our radio program? In season and out of season. The Lord has told me to preach his word in season when everything is wonderful and out of season when everything is miserable. I cannot but preach his word. I am confined to preach the word of God, thank God. Confined when I feel like it and confined when I don't feel like it. God calls people in the world to be his prophetic people. I am not telling you I am like Jeremiah. I am not telling you I am like Isaiah, but I am prophetic. I am a prophetic figure. I am not a prophet like Jeremiah. I am not a prophet like Isaiah. I am not a prophet like Micah. But I have a prophetic call on my life. I was called before I was born to be a prophetic figure in the midst of the church and in the midst of the world. And that costs a lot. I know what Jeremiah meant when he says, Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived, but you are stronger than I. And you have prevailed. I am a derision daily. Everyone mocks me. For since I speak, I cried out violence and spoil, because the Lord of Lords has made me a reproach and a derision daily. Then I said, I'm not going to mention him anymore. I'm not going to speak in his name. But his word in me and in my heart were as a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of forbearing. I could not stay. I had to speak. I had to speak. I know a little of what Jeremiah is talking about. I know a little. The message of Jeremiah was a message of Jerusalem and Judah were to be spoiled, and they would go off to Babylon. But the one they prophesied, The one they persecuted was Jeremiah. They hated Jeremiah. They hated him for speaking the truth. They wanted their ears tickled. They wanted to hear good things. I can tell you this about our country, boys and girls. I can tell you this, unless we have a real repentance party, unless we have a real repentance party, the United States of America in 10 years is not going to be the same country you were brought up in. The United States of America will not be the same country you were brought up in 8 years. The United States of America will not be the same country that you were brought up in 6 years. We have worshipped false gods. We have called it choice. We have killed our children. We don't even think of that anymore. But yet, what we sow is what we reap. If you sow violence, you reap violence. And I tell you, where will the violence come about? In our pocketbooks, because we have made money our God. It's just real. So how should we respond? How should we respond? I'll tell you how we should respond. We should respond asking for mercy. We should respond praying mercy. Have mercy upon our country, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Lord, blot out the transgressions of our country. Wash our country thoroughly and wash us from iniquity. Cleanse us from all sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions as well as the transgressions of my country, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone, have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. Against you, you alone, our country has sinned. We have done what is evil in your sight. We have killed our children. Now we're killing our elderly in thy sight, that thou might be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, our country was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did our mothers conceive us. Behold, you desire truth in our inward parts. You desire truth in our country. And in the inward part thou shalt make me know wisdom. Oh, let our country know wisdom again. Let us turn again to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Purge our country with hyssop, that we may be clean. Wash our country, that we may be whiter than snow. Make our country hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from the sins of our country, and blot out all our iniquities. Create in our country and in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from our country. Restore our country to joy of salvation. Uphold us with the willing spirit. Then we again, as a country, will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver our country from blood guiltiness. O God, my tongue shall ring out your righteousness. O Lord, open the lips of our country, and our mouths shall declare your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, else I would give it to you. You delight not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Our country is before you, God, broken, a broken, contrite heart. O God, you will not spurn. You will not despise. Let me tell you this. This is prayer is Psalm 51, that you can pray for yourself and pray for the country. That we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God wants to restore us. Hallelujah. God wants to restore us. We need only to repent and speak it out and say, Lord, we have sinned against you. You could see why Jeremiah was hated. He was prophesying that Judah and Jerusalem would be destroyed. You could see how he embodied the word of God. You can see what God is calling them to. They're going to be off to Babylon. Off to Babylon. Psalm 137. This is the... By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept, even as Jeremiah said they were going to Babylon for 70 years. When we remembered Mount Zion, we hung up our harps on the willows in the midst of it. For there they carried us away captive, requiring us to sing the songs of the temple. But how could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. My friends, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, yes. Jerusalem, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray, God, that there will not be a war between Jerusalem and the Middle East. Oh, God, have mercy on us. 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 I praise you. I bless you. I worship you. I glorify you. Have mercy on your country. Have mercy on this country. Oh, God, have mercy on Jerusalem. Have mercy on Israel. Iran and Israel are the two countries that are in the spotlight. Pray that there be no war. Pray that there be no war. Because if there be war, we're going to have a third world war. It's not for me to say that as a prophet. I'm saying that just as a man who has sense. Please pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Please pray that Iran and Jerusalem have a peaceful experience between them. If not, there's going to be a third world war. And my Lord, nothing will be the same. O God, have mercy upon us. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the word of God, proclaiming the word of God today, the prophetic word of God. I need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills. Please, you hear me every single day. You hear me speaking the word of God. I need to hear from you. You ask the Lord, how much of a check can I send in season and out of season? How much would you want me to do, Lord? And I'm not going to tell you what to give. You ask the Lord, and you do whatever he tells you to. The address is Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. For your reading today, Jeremiah 1, Jeremiah 20, Psalm 51. Jeremiah 1, Jeremiah 20, Psalm 51, asking mercy on our country and on our lives. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Jesus, Son of the living God, have mercy on us. Our Lady, Queen of the United States, pray for these states, that again our hearts might be sold out to your Son. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I do need to hear from you, and the mailing address is simple. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Repent, repent, repent in Jesus' name. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.